180 degrees. Good morning, Columbus, Ohio, and Local 304. It's Branch President Ken Hodge of Columbus, Ohio, and for some reason I'm feeling rejuvenated, invigorated, and ready to continue to inform you on the ongoings or the not ongoings in your local union 304. Stand by for this podcast. Now, on Monday and Tuesday at 8 a.m., I will give you two quick podcasts, about 20 minutes each, of the events that transpired during our executive council, executive board meeting. But this Saturday morning, I'm going to take about 5 or 10 minutes just to tell you how out of control your local president is. Yes, I am using my voice on my podcast to inform as many people who listen that the local 304 president is out of control. And when I say out of control for the folks in Dayton, Ohio, I'm going to justify that statement so that if you choose to bring charges on me for this podcast, at least reiterate correctly what it is I'm about to say. And it starts off with, again, this past Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the Executive Council, which is the all the branch presidents in Local 304 and the Executive Board, we met for our spring meeting. Now, there's one instance in particular, what I'm going to give you this morning, that will justify why I say the local president is out of control. Well, on Thursday morning, this Thursday morning, we received the minutes from September 8th meeting. Yeah, you do the math. That's how long it took for us to get the minutes, but let's move past that. We received the minutes from September 8th meeting, and in those minutes, it stated that the local president swore in the new president in Canton, Ohio, and he swore in a acting president in Columbus, Ohio, which immediately got my attention. So during the meeting, full council, everyone's present, he asked, are there any questions on the minutes? Well, I stand and I say, yes, I have a question on the minutes. And my question was, my first question was, how can you appoint an acting president in my branch and I'm still there? The fact that I'm invited to this meeting means I'm still a branch president. And on top of that, how can you appoint a new president in Canton, Ohio, without a vote on it? Now, let me explain to you, and you're going to have to get the local union constitutions, the 304 bylaws, in order to intelligently follow what I'm about to say. Well, in our Constitution, it states when you are replacing vacant positions, and before I go further, let's understand that the branch president of Columbus, Ohio is not a vacant position. I am still the president. The local president has me under these crazy suspensions that won't allow me to do much, but I am still the president. Therefore, how can you fill a position that's already filled? I'm sure the fact that you swore him in as acting president means he is now entitled to monetary compensation. So while the union can't afford to buy T-shirts and aprons for all their members, you can afford, or you make the decision that you're going to pay two individuals for one job. 304, open your eyes and let's take a look at that. But let's move right along. The local president, and I got to tell you, he so reminded me of Colonel Jessup from a few good men, because I guess he got irritated that I questioned the fact that he's not following the Constitution. And in pure Colonel Jessup fashion, his response to me was, I'm sorry that I'm laughing, but this is what he said to me in front of the executive board and the executive council. You're just a president in that office. On paper, you can attend these meetings and you get a check. That's all you do. So I said, well, what about the appointing of people without the executive board vote on it? He said to me, I did it. Yeah, I did it. I don't need a vote. Now, again, nobody on the executive council bothered to say, hey, brother president, as per our local constitution, you do need a vote. And earlier when I said you're going to need the constitution and bylaws to follow this, this is what I'm talking about. In our local constitution, it states if a position is vacant, then we go to the bylaws on how we're going to fill that position. If the bylaws do not specifically determine how it's going to be done, then the Constitution says the executive board must vote on any new positions. Well, not a new position, any vacant positions being filled. Now, that's clear as day. And in front of his whole council, he let everyone know he don't have to abide by that part of the Constitution. He and the vice president take it amongst themselves to just appoint people to elected positions that have become vacant. And I'm here to say that is a direct violation of the Constitution. And the fact that you made that statement in front of the entire executive board and executive council with no shame at all, you don't even realize how adamantly you just described to the folks who follow you that you don't really read your Constitution. You take the stance that you've been in that position so long, and when I say that position, a headquarter element position, so long that you can do whatever you want to do because the executive council and the executive board are going to follow you anyway. Well, I do hope that after that meeting, somebody on your council explained to you that you were incorrect, and we need to change that. Now, all I'm saying is I'm pointing this out to you because it just shows the abuse that the current local president of power, the abuse of power that he is implementing in Local 304, and no one seems to be able to stop that. Well, I'm here to tell you that I'm going to stop that. I am going to go through the normal channels, and now because of your actions this past Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I think it's in time that I involve other professionals in my fight to make sure that you don't continue to run rampant or run this local as if you don't have a governing body that you answer to. Now, I do want to take this time and say to Local 304 and any union member who hears my podcast in the Mail Handlers Union, I think that the president's actions these past couple days has escalated my desire in order to bring about justice, and you're going to see me going to outside sources in order to bring about justice because I don't know if I'm going to be able to actually get justice inside the union. I only say that because I really don't want you looking at me as a union buster. I am a team builder, but sometimes in order to build a strong team, certain blocks have to be removed. So the actions that I'm going to pursue now are going to be a lot more aggressive, a lot more legal than I have in the past, and I only ask the members of Local 304 to understand that I have been driven to this point because I have a voice that the local president just chooses to silence, and I'm not going to allow my voice to be silent. So when you start to see, because I'm going to podcast it, I'm a big believer in full disclosure, So I'm going to podcast my moves. I'm going to podcast my actions. Even though there are a lot of people against mass media, if it was not for mass media, most people would not understand the turmoil that I'm going through. And I hope that while I podcast my turmoil, there's going to be a lot of mail handlers in Local 304 that can identify to what I'm going through again, and they will help me bring about a change. Now, I want to say this to you when we go back to my original statement of the local president being out of control. Do you realize when I talk about being out of control, thinking he is greater than the entire National Postal Mail Handler Union, thinking he do not have to abide by rules and regulations set forth in our Constitution, do you realize that I am going on my over 2 year suspension? And let me tell you something. Do you know I've never been shown any evidence to support anything? I received a letter from the president about late grievances, attempting to bring back my chief steward, other stewards filing late grievances, and I have never been presented with any evidence to support any allegation he's ever made against me. Now, one thing I would like to say, I would love to, and I'm going to send a formal request certified letter to the local president via the recording secretary. I would love to see the evidence you presented to our national president that allows you to think that I am guilty of any infraction and that allows you to keep me out of office for so long. Now, let me tell you something. I try not to involve the national in my fight. I don't, I've spoken to the national president on many occasions, but again, he lets me know there's a procedure that we go through. But now I'm going to have to involve the national because I think that the local president is so far out of control that if the national president doesn't step in, then they are going to be able to ramrod me out of a spot on the ballot for local president. I feel I'm never going to be returned to my position as branch president. And you know, he's got, the local president's got this crazy thought that just because you're paying me, I should shut up and go away. Well, I didn't get the job for pay. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful addition. I got the job because I have the desire to represent employees. So to the local president, I say to you that your actions are very unprofessional and you should be held accountable just like everyone else. And I'm going to spend my energy ensuring my voice is heard. And if the legal teams and the national office find merit in what it is I'm saying, I hope they remove you from your position. That's what I have to say to you, local president. This voice will be heard.